Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few moments. And we'll have an opportunity to talk a little Penn State football, if you'd like. Take your calls at 800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. A couple of interesting things happened just in the last 24 hours. I thought the most interesting was in the NFL, where the NFL has decided that they want to may do something with the extra point. They said it's become too automatic. Not the worst idea in the world. Sitting back and thinking about it, I often, step aside or check out a different game when a touchdown scored, knowing the extra point is all but automatic. And then, of course, the kickoff ends up going into the end zone. You know how I feel about that. That just takes all the fun right out of a kickoff. But it's for safety reasons, so I guess it's a positive that way. But what would you do if you did change the extra point? I mean, I was thinking about this over the last 12 hours or so, trying to figure out the best way and the most interesting way to make that, we'll call it conversion, because it doesn't necessarily have to be an extra point, a little bit more of a discussion or a debate among coaches. You know, they have a coach's card now, and we've heard that talked about many times. As a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, I actually posted it on my Twitter feed, at Kevin Herr. You can see the coach's card to decide whether to go for two or kick the extra point. And a lot of those have been used now, I saw on NFL broadcasts over the years. My thought was, what if you moved the extra point? Here's one idea, just brainstorming. Move the extra point backwards. Would that be better? You know, maybe move the extra point so that you line it up on the balls on the 10-yard line. Now you're talking about an extra point that's a little more challenging. But then again, I think at how good these kickers are anymore and think, you know, you almost have to go to the 30-yard line for the extra point to become a challenge. And then does it really become an extra pointer that you just want to go for two all the time? I think fans would rather see teams go for two simply because it's a little more exciting. That's where we want to find out what you think. 800-795-9565. How would you change the extra point, or would you just leave it the way it is? Maybe move the go for 2-point conversion line a little further up. Maybe have it at like 1.5, so you have a one less yard to go. I don't know. I don't think I like moving the 2-point conversion the 2-point conversion spot. I just don't think I like that idea. But I wouldn't mind having the 2-point conversion be a little bit more of an option in the NFL. I mean, you have to admit, it would make things rather interesting if a team scores a touchdown, and then, even in the first quarter, it's 6-0. Okay, do we go for the extra point that's like a 15- or 20-yard field goal, maybe even a 25-yard field goal if you're spotting it at about the 10-yard line? Or do we roll the dice a little bit here in the first quarter and go for two? And if it's a windy, windy day, maybe you would be more apt to go for two than kick the extra point if it's a 25-yarder. I don't know. That's just something we could chat about and get your thoughts about. Another question today is from the NFL as well, with Roger Goodell. It appears as though there's a discussion that penalized hits could become reviewable. One of the biggest issues the NFL really has right now is how to handle the big hits that are penalized. Refs are told to err on the side of caution, and that results in flags for hits that, you know, are borderline. I think we've seen a lot of that in the playoffs this year. We've seen flags that were borderline And it looked like helmet leading with the helmet or helmet-to-helmet contact at full speed. And then upon review, I think it was even Troy Aikman in the NFC Championship game that thought it was a bad call. And it's a big one, too. It's 15 yards. So that would be a big change. And part of me understands the reason why they do that, but it just makes me a little bit nervous at the same time that you would sit back and review a penalty. It's like, okay, well, if we're ruining that penalty, then what if it appears to be a penalty and it wasn't called? Are we going to actually review that and then charge a penalty? Or maybe the holding or the pass interference call that goes a 50-yard pass interference because it's a spot foul. Is that going to be reviewable now because that's a big penalty? I just think you open up a can of worms here, and where do you draw the line? I understand it's a 15-yard penalty, and it can be a game changer, but if you're going to do that for what looks like a, you know, helmet hit or leading with the helmet or targeting, however you want to describe it, and it turns out that it's not, and you want to let that reviewable, then doesn't that open the door to the even bigger penalty, which is the long, long interference penalties? That's a debate that might be brewing in the NFL. I do give the NFL credit for trying to adapt a little bit. I mean, going back to the extra point, you give the NFL an opportunity to do what Major League Baseball hasn't done over the last couple of years, and that's change the game for the better. We've talked about it many times with Steve, how Major League Baseball games just drag on and on and on, and you go in there and you kick off your shoes, or you kick the dirt off your shoes, you spit three times. You know, you got to hit more pine tar on the bat. And then you go back in, and then the pitcher takes an extra two or three more seconds, and then he calls timeout, and then the batter calls timeout. And, you know, Major League Baseball hasn't adapted. The NFL at least tries, emphasis there on tries, to adapt from time to time. And I think this extra point is a great example of trying to adapt and make a difference and make the game a little bit better. One of the things we chatted about a little yesterday was Belichick accusing Wes Welker of a dirty play. That's another topic we can bring up today on the toll-free line at 800-795-9565. Chat a little bit about some Penn State recruiting as well. Penn State getting some new opportunities here for some guys. They have about three scholarships left. And one thing I don't hear Penn State fans getting upset about or panicking about are a couple of guys that they've lost. And we've talked about that here on the program as well. I think the additions that Penn State has gotten have been actually a little bit of a wash. You know, a couple of the guys they have from Vanderbilt really are going to make a big impact. A couple of good wide receivers on the recruiting list. We could talk a little bit more about that as well. Of course, Steve can't mention specific names, but we'll be talking more about recruiting as the big signing day comes up. I think we're about 14 days away from that. Other things going on today, Phillies looking at Bobby Abreu. Yeah, if you're a Phillies fan right now, I would hope you're thinking the same thing I am. Huh? Don't get me wrong, I loved Bobby Abreu when he was a Philly, but I have to wonder now, is this really the addition that makes a difference? I mean, Bobby Abreu, is that going to be an addition that makes a big difference? So those are a few things we could talk about as we get ready to check in with Steve from the Sunbury Motor Studio. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance. Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio today. We'll check in again with him momentarily. Steve alluded earlier to the fact that the NFL is thinking of changing. He said doing away. I haven't heard doing away. I haven't heard bye doing bye. Away with it. I've heard changing
extra point,
it.
Extra point gone.
Changing it is what I've heard. Doing away with it, no.
You want to know why?
Because liability. It's boring.
No. Liability, and it's nine. Take, for example, today's the anniversary of the Steelers beating the Cowboys in the Super Bowl 35-31, Super Bowl 13.
With the acrobatic swan catch.
One of them. That was the one Jackie Smith dropped the pass in the end zone. And Jack, usually the Super Bowl ring he wears. And people have always asked, must be really special to him. I said, no, it's the one that fits. It's true. Sometimes.
Well, you take the fun out of everything, don't you?
But it's the truth.
Okay? That doesn't matter. Let me have my little fantasy, okay? It doesn't hurt anybody.
It's the one that fits. I'm sorry. I feel like I've ruined your life.
So why is it why is the extra point dangerous? Hardly anybody moves except for the two guys on the outside.
Yeah, I understand that, except I think Gronkowski got hurt on an extra point this year. You're talking about, first of all, nine untimed plays. In a 35-31 game, there were nine extra points in that game, right? So they had nine untimed plays. So they're taking nine untimed possibilities of injury off the table.
So are you suggesting that the NFL is hinting to the fact that they're taking it away, period, and you'll just get a touchdown and it'll be worth 6 points, and that'll be the end of it? Or are they going to make the touchdown 7 points and be done with it?
It would be 7 points, and if you went for a two-point conversion, you would get eight. If you missed the two-point conversion, you'd have six.
That's too confusing. I like my way better.
Your idea.
Yeah. Started
your
the
idea is to make your idea is to make wrestling non-contact and your kid 50-0.
Well, I like the last part of it, but no, put it start the ball at maybe the 10-yard line. That makes it at least a little bit more interesting. And I think more teams would be willing to go for two.
But it's not interesting. The reason they want to take it off the table is that, of course, they're going to show you research. They've only been, what, five missed or something like that in the last, I don't know, 7-8 years, some number like that. And when you're looking at a league, see, there's certain things that people won't tell you, okay, that are honest, real reasons, okay? Let's take college basketball. Why do you think college basketball has gone from 215 and 220 games, and then suddenly the officiating of the games has changed in the past month? Okay, why has it changed?
Too many fouls.
Which does what?
Makes the game longer.
Right. Okay. What are the assigned television windows?
Usually 2 hours or maybe even 2:15.
No, 2 hours.
Is it just 2 hours? Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Why do you think they're calling the games the way they're calling them right now? Because the games suddenly, voila, fit into 2 hour windows.
I knew television ruled sports.
Well, it does. There's no question about that. All right, let's talk some hockey. And we'll even get a little Olympic hockey in there for you, Kev, okay?
I love Olympic stuff. You know that.
Absolutely, especially Olympic security. All right, let's get to what Josh Yoey Tribune Review. Josh, welcome back, my friend. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Josh, last night when Florida scored the shorthanded goal to take a 1-0 lead, it was so easy. I thought to myself, they're in trouble. What did you see watching that last night firsthand all the way through?
The whole building could feel it. You're playing one of the worst teams in the league, but it didn't matter. And, you know, the Penguins, and listen, they're obviously in a very comfortable spot in the standings right now, but they really haven't played a few weeks. Still winning on account of their talent despite some sloppy performances. And it all caught up to them last night, and you could just feel it coming in that first period. They just didn't look like they were there mentally at all, and almost to a man after the game they admitted as much, that they kind of took a night off. And it's something that has happened very rarely, and I don't think we'll see much more of it, but it was a pretty awful performance.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that Fleury is one of those? Now, most goalies need this, but is Fleury one of those guys that really is dependent on guys playing well in front of him, and then he can clean up whatever mistakes?
You know, not necessarily. I mean, all goalies like that, of course, but he's certainly been the kind of guy who's bailed them out a lot over the years. But as good as he's been, there haven't been too many occasions this year where I would say he has stolen a game. He's generally been as good as the defense in front of him, I think. So I don't blame him for that loss at all last night. It was just a team-wide implosion. But, he didn't have his best night, and obviously he counts on those guys in front of him. And the funny thing about last night's game, you know, the Penguins are completely healthy now, really, except for Bo Bennett. But we have seen from them when they get completely healthy, they have a hard time just playing defense. They want to go out and be the 85 Oilers and put on a show, and I think they've been very much guilty of that the last few games, really.
Right. The Olympics are coming up, and of course several Penguins will be involved. Even in Vancouver, I know some players did complain a bit once they hit the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not the first round, but a little bit later in the playoffs. Is Dan Bylsma managing this differently because of Sochi in any way, shape, or form? Is he just keeping things as normal as possible?
Well, he's trying to keep things normal, but, I don't sense many changes. Now, he has admitted from his standpoint, his assistant coach, Tony Granato, is also on the U.S. coaching staff. He has admitted that their responsibility is a little more Olympic right now than they are with the Penguins, and I think that they brought Jacques Martin in to try to carry the load, especially this time of the season when the Olympics are so close. But in terms of how he handles the team, I don't see any differences at all. In fact, Sidney Crosby's playing more minutes per game than he ever has in his NHL career. And to bring up the fatigue thing, I've probably told this story on your show before, but I still remember talking with Crosby during the lockout, and I asked him about that 2010 season when they lost to Montreal in the second round, and I said, geez, that draw was really wide open for you guys. You probably should have won the whole thing that year. And he just shook his head, and he said, no, we were out of gas. And now he also included, you know, the Penguins have been to the all the also, so a lot of, but no, during a long.
How many Penguins are going to be involved in the Olympics in various countries?
There will be seven. Martin and Orpik are playing for the U.S., and Crosby for Team Canada, and Kunitz also, and Mata and Jokinen for Finland, and Malkin for Russia, of course.
Malkin for Russia, of course, yeah. No, have any of them expressed any concerns because of the Black Widow situation in Sochi? Have they expressed any concern at all?
Privately, yes. Publicly, no. I mean, I've talked with a couple of guys, and this isn't, I mean, the Black Widow thing just recent, but for the last few weeks, really, I've spoken with some guys who are not completely comfortable going over there. And I've spoken with, I'm not going there, but I know some sports writers who are, and I've talked who aren't real comfortable. And in fact, I'll tell you, this is only 5 years ago, myself and my colleague Rob Rossi, we were talking with Sergei Gonchar, who played for the Penguins at the time, and he, of course, is from Russia, and he voiced concern then that these Olympics were in Sochi, and we said, why? We thought you'd be happy. It's in Russia. And he said, no, nah, Sochi's too close to that places. And I still remember him saying that, like, geez. So come out publicly and said anything, but behind the scenes, yeah, I think there is a little bit of concern. And how could there not be? I mean, they're human beings just like you and me, and right. I'd certainly be a little concerned if I were going over there, frankly.
Absolutely. Well, that's why we have flat-screen TVs and HD. All right. So, and not only that, because of flat-screen and HD, you can really see the puck now. Calgary-Vancouver, what were your thoughts on how that played out? Because, I mean, Hartley deliberately put a line out there, you and I both. But, I mean, that's not exactly the top group to start the game. And then how Tortorella acted, which then drew the 15-day suspension, which ends up to being six games.
Well, I will say this. I do not blame Tortorella for putting his fourth line on to start the game against Calgary. And some people have been critical of him. You know, if I'm Dan Bylsma and Calgary puts the goon squad on the ice, I'm not going to throw Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin in harm's way if I think those are the intentions. I don't blame Tortorella for that one bit. You can't go to another team's locker room like that. He was going to get he did it. Just can't do something like that. And especially, you know, that was 45 minutes after the fact. You know, he had some time to cool down and to consider his actions, and he chose to do that anyway. So I have no problem with, you know, the six-game suspension that he received. But I think, frankly, Hartley got off a little bit easy. You know, Mario Lemieux for years has been saying, you know, when stuff like this happens, you know, punish the team. Take away draft picks. Take away money from the team. That'll stop it in a hurry. And I think he might be onto something. And I think Calgary knew what it was doing. I think that's, you look at the guys they put on the ice, that's not even a fourth line. That was like a goon line from the 80s there. And you don't even see lines like that anymore. And it was really obvious what was going on. And listen, the game certainly doesn't need that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was like two levels below the AHL that he put out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those guys had a combined like four career NHL goals, I think. I mean, these are just cement heads who, you know, the game has pretty much gotten rid of these kinds of guys.
Yeah.
And you know, to see that, I hate it because, you know, it's ESPN, that's all they're talking about 5 days later, and every other network, you know.
Yeah.
It just makes the game look so bad, and it's a self-inflicted thing.
What's the balance right now between free flow and hitting as you see it? I mean, good hitting. I don't mean what happened in the Calgary-Vancouver game.
Well, the game is still very physical. It's probably as physical as it's ever been in terms of clean hitting. It's a tough spot for the NHL. They've really let some of the interference creep back into the game, and that's why scoring is down, and that upsets everyone, myself included. I grew up in the 80s watching Mario Lemieux play. I like offensive hockey more than I do defensive hockey.
Right.
I plainly admit it, and I think most people do. But the problem was right after the 2004 lockout when they completely opened up the game and let forwards skate at full speed, guys were just getting killed. I mean, concussions left and right a couple of years ago, and when we saw that, that's when they let interference creep in a little bit just to try to slow down some of those violent collisions, and it hasn't been as bad this year, so there's never going to be a perfect medium for this, but I still think the game's physical. I still think it's fast. I think the game's pretty good right now.
We were talking about Olympic fatigue earlier. Now let's talk about something else. Because the NHL has done something I like, and I believe you said you really liked it too, where you're playing in everybody's building at least once this year. Mm-hmm. That also meant they had a legit West Coast swing. Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, so forth, which has brought the travel equation into it. Have you noticed anything different there? Because sometimes when you get to those coast swings, a little fatigue does creep in.
It does, but for the Penguins, I would say no. They have a really favorable schedule. They are so centrally located, really, in terms of where most hockey teams are in North America, that they don't have too many brutal trips. Now, I was talking with Eric Gudbranson, a defenseman for Florida, yesterday, and he was telling me about how they 8 of their next 9 games are on the road, and they're in Canada twice on that trip, and then back to Florida, and then right back to Toronto. Ooh. It's like, you know, some of these teams, it's just outrageous, the travel that they have to deal with. But for the Penguins, you know what, the Penguins' longest road trip of the season, I think, is 5 games, which isn't that bad. So I don't think fatigue's an issue for them, but for teams that travel a lot and that are located, you know, the Florida teams and teams in California and Vancouver, it absolutely is an issue for them. Anybody who has traveled a lot will tell you, yeah, you're just sitting on an airplane. It's not like you're in a fist fight, but it does take something out of you.
Yeah. How would you evaluate Chris Letang's play, both power play and even strength?
Not good enough, and he's never been a great power play guy, really. And the power play has better numbers when Paul Martin and Matt Niskanen are running the point because, you know, they're on the ice with a bunch of stars. They keep things very simple and it works. Letang is a great talent, but, you know, sometimes there's a little too much flash in his game. So I think that's been an issue. But the bigger issue for him is defensively. I don't know what the problem is with him, but he has not been the same player this season. And I can't put a finger on it. He's certainly not lazy. He just signed a big contract, and some guys think being same player, but he's one of those guys who I think almost works too hard off the ice. You know, he watches hours of videos every day, and he's always the last guy off the ice at practice. I almost think he takes it too seriously, if that's possible, but he needs to start playing better. There's too many mental lapses in his game. He might be, other than Marc-Andre Fleury, the single most important player on this team. If they're going to win a Stanley Cup, they need him to be a legitimate number one defenseman, and he has been that in the past, but frankly, he's not that right now.
Most impressive team that you've looked at so far, whether in person or happen to catch on TV?
There's a few, but I still think Chicago's the favorite. And I know Anaheim has the best record in the league, and there's a lot of great teams in California and in Boston. But I'll tell you what, when I watch the Blackhawks play, I think to myself, that's still a really hard team to take 4 or 7 games from in a series. They always have the puck. They're just so gifted, and there's just no real apparent weakness with them. So they have a harder road than a team like the Penguins because the Western Conference is considerably better than the East. So maybe they'd be exhausted by the time they got to the final. I don't know. But, boy, that's a great hockey team. It really is.
Yeah, I watched the because I was at Purdue doing battle Friday night, Saturday. I saw the Anaheim game. The Blackhawks played Josh, the Blackhawks played great, and Anaheim came in red hot, and the Blackhawks controlled them.
Oh, absolutely! They make good teams look quite ordinary on many nights, and they have a way about them. That's a scary hockey team. It really is. I can't say enough good things about them every time I see them play.
In talking with the Pens, we know about the list of moves they made last year, and obviously it didn't all pan out. Has there been any talk that they may have one or two moves that they'd like to make and shore up, and idealistically, what spots might they be?
Well, there are moves coming, I'm convinced. They have not adequately replaced Pascal Dupuis on Sidney Crosby's right wing. Mm. It doesn't have to be a star because you already have Crosby and Kunitz there, but they need somebody who can play with those two. And I also think they need a legitimate third-line winger. Brandon Sutter just has no one to play with. As good as the Penguins' top two lines are, the bottom two lines have been awful. They really need, I think, two pieces of forward, one with Crosby and one with Sutter. And also some breaking news for you, which might be good news, in terms of having just a few moon is going to skate tomorrow and is off blood thinners, and it sounds like there's a chance he could return at some point this season, even though the Penguins backup Jeff Zachoff has played well. If Bo Kuhn maybe could come back in a month or two, that would be a pretty significant development.
That's amazing that he's back this quickly. I'd assume that he was just done for the year.
Yeah, I thought he was done for his career. And he's off the blood thinners. He's not allowed to take shots yet. And Dan Bylsma made it clear that he's still a ways away from possibly being able to play. But he's skating in Pittsburgh tomorrow, so that's awfully good news.
Yeah, it is good news. Hey, Josh, always good news talking with you. I appreciate it very much.
All right, anytime.
Josh Yowie, Tribune Review. Players don't want to go to Sochi.
Oh, I understand why.
Too many bad people around it. Now, I won't watch the Olympics now. I don't want to watch disaster.
Too bad for you.
I had somebody come up to me. Somebody came up to me today. They're laughing because they heard the sequence yesterday. I said, good news and bad news. And I said, the good news is we've made Kevin's dream come true. The company is sending him to the Olympics. In a related note, they continue to search for the Black Widow terrorist. Company says, have a good time.
That's right. Which is going to be safer, Brazil or Russia?
I'm sorry. That's neither.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you think about it, because I know people that have gone to Brazil on business, and they said, listen, you don't want to get outside of the heart of the city. That's about it. You don't want to get outside that.
No, I know. It's. I remember one time doing basketball in Tampa, and we were staying downtown at the Hyatt. And this was 1982, I think. And Penn State had a freshman guard named Alex Agudio. He ended up being the Atlantic 10 freshman of the year. He only stayed 1 year, and then he transferred to Canisius after Dick Carter left. Alex, a tough kid from New York City. And so I go downstairs, and I said, are there any good restaurants around the area? And he goes, well, he says, maybe I'll just stay in the hotel. It's kind of a rough area. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I thank the concierge for the advice. So I'm walking back, and Alex comes through the lobby. He's going out. I said, hey, Alex, I said, just so you know, I said, it's going to be, you know, be careful out there what you're doing. I said, the concierge says this isn't the greatest area in the face of the earth. He looks at me, goes, blank this, and goes out. I'm like, some people are just tough. So, oh, well. We'll come back
with more guts than I have, though, put it that way.
Well, that would be really most of the planet. All right, let's go. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. homeowners, life, auto, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.